Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Power of Words, Share number 52. We're going to go talk about now the Einaz Dvarim pertaining to marriage. People get married to enhance their lives. Hashem wants people to get married to enhance their lives. Ezer is to help them. Even the Kenegdoi is to help them. The opposite personality sometimes. The friction sometimes is to help them. But what's sad is it's so easy for married couples to cause each other a tremendous amount of emotional pain by insulting one another. And regardless what the couple may disagree about, there's a big difference, big distinction between those who calmly discuss their differences with respect and those who end up insulting each other. When insults are avoided, then even if you come across difficult problems, they're dealt with by focusing on solutions. As soon as one insults the other, very easy to get sidetracked from the real issues. The other party is likely to respond with an insult instead of negotiating an agreement, and they keep hurting each other, and it becomes a vicious cycle. Even if two people are different from each other, if they're willing to accept upon themselves not to needlessly say anything insulting, they will avoid unnecessary quarrels and suffering. We said this many times in the Shalom Bayis Shiurim. Rapam used to say this very often. When he came across marriages that were disasters that ended up in divorce or in terrible states, very often I remember him saying this, that it's not like there was a major crisis that created this to reach this point of breaking point, but it was the small things. It was the little words, insensitive, starting from the beginning, little by little, and it snowballed. He actually, I think, used the word that it became a big snowball rolling about the hill, became a big mountain. They don't even remember what the shirish of where their differences and their dislike to each other came about. It was lack of being careful with their words and being sensitive. I forgot what percentage exactly he said, but if you would have even a whatever degree of percentage of carefulness in the way you talk when you were dating versus the way you talked when you after getting married for a few months or years, if you're that careful, even let me say 70% of the carefulness of when you were going out, most marriages would be in much, much better shape. So if there is a complaint or an issue, word it in a positive manner. Spouse comes later. You may say, you may be tempted to say, oh, you're late again. You know, someone like you should be able to tell time. Is your memory so poor that you forgot to look at your watch? Or you're selfish, you're inconsiderate. And thinking, will that motivate your spouse to be more punctual? No, it won't. More than that, they'll probably keep your spouse avoiding you and your sharp tongue, and they'll be inclined to come even later. So instead, it would be, I appreciate your company so much. I really wish you would come home early. We look forward to seeing you. Or you're valuable around here. When you're not here, it's hard. It's harder to manage without you here. We really, you know, need you here, and we love you. It's a totally different mindset. Now, if two people that are married to each other have basic personality difference, don't try to change the other person. That's why Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about personality types to respect each other's personality types. We have to accept each person's basic nature. Doesn't mean we accept the negative midos. The negative midos need correction in oneself, in one spouse, but the temperament of each one, husband or wife, the personality type of each one, husband and wife, needs to be respected and to be sacred. The Vilna Gaon writes that a person would not go completely against his nature, and they should not go against their nature, even if it is bad, because he won't be matzliach. Rather, he should train himself to allow the straight path in accordance to his nature. This is similar to the way Esav, where Yitzchak, you know, really believed in him, if he would have chosen well, Esav, the Admoni, the Ish Sadeh, the way, according to many Mefarshim explain, the original plan was to have Yaakov marry Rachel and have 6 Shvatim from them as a Bechina of Yisachar, and to have Esav marry Leah and to have 6 children from them as a Bechina of Zevulun, as a one. The Admoni, the Ish Sadeh nature, would have been elevated for good. Agav, at the end, by the way, you just have to say this as a side of our Torah, that's what happened afterwards, according to the Medrash, when Esav and lost that tafkid because of choosing wrong. So Yaakov, everything had to go through Yaakov. So then Lavan tricked Yaakov and married Leah. The morning he was upset, what did you do? You tricked me. And Leah says, didn't you trick your father? You know, so what is that all about? So the Mefarshim explain that what Leah was trying to explain to Yaakov was that, yes, I was destined to marry Esav if he would have been worthy. When you, through your mother's instruction, took the brachos from Esav, that was a sign that Hashem said that Esav lost that right, and you get all the brachos. All 12 shvatim come from you. So though originally, Leah is talking, although originally Rachel was supposed to marry you and have 6 shvatim, and Esav was supposed to marry me and have 6 shvatim, once you took the brachos that was taken away from Esav, and the whole tafkid of all 12 shvatim is from you, that's why I'm married to you, for those 6 shvatim. Again, that was the original plan. It ended up being not so, and Leah had more, and Rachel ended up with only 2, whatever, how Hashem orchestrated it. But that was the cheshbon behind it. But the bottom line is, Esav had a disposition that could have been used for good. David HaMelech had a similar disposition, and Hashem basically says to us, don't break it, channel it. Whatever your basic temperament is, will manifest it over again. And Oinoas Devarim in these areas can be repeated many, many times. If you bash a person on their base personality, therefore, to have a peaceful marriage, you need to accept the other person for who he or she is intrinsically. That doesn't mean that if there is a negative behavior that it could be called out upon, could be communicated upon, could be discussed with each other. It bothers me. This hurts me, this behavior. This irritates me, this behavior. Let's work through it. That's fine. In a healthy way, that's fine. We're not talking about burying things under the rug and when one of them hurt the other to just ignore it. If it's a pattern, you deal with it and you work through it. You don't ignore it. But here we're talking about something else. Here we're talking about that you are bashing the person's very nature, their orientation, their mida. Let's say Avram was chesed, and you're complaining, why don't you have more gvura? Yitzchak was gvura, why don't you have more chesed? And so on and so forth. Each one, chanoich l'nar al pi darkoi. So that is the problem. If your husband or wife has a logical, rational mind, communicate with them rationally. If they have an emotional mind, acknowledge the feelings of it. Understand personality in order to communicate healthily that way. So here are common Einos Dvarim comments. You're so sloppy, or you're a slob. Instead, you say, I'd appreciate if you would be neater, let's work together on it. You would have a much happier spouse if it would be more organized. Or a husband tells a wife, your cooking is awful. Terrible thing to say. Sorry, the recording got interrupted. We'll continue. So anyway, to say your cooking is awful is a terrible thing to say. Positive approach would be, different people have different tastes, and let's try something different. And so on. You waste so much money. You're a spoiled brat. No, you don't say things like that. Let's work out a budget that we both agree on. Let's figure out our income, our expenses. Let's figure this out together. Now, will that approach always work? It may not always, but it's certainly more effective than insults, which is definitely will not work. And even if you do not get what you want, you know, even if you get what you want, rather, by insulting your spouse, you yell at them, you curse them out, and they give you what you need, so you got a short-term gain, but it creates a tremendous amount of resentment, a tremendous amount of ill will, and you lose more than you gain. Therefore, the advice to any couple, when they have differences, never insult each other. It is such a yesod in marriage. It needs to be stressed strongly again and again and again. And I say this so many times, how many marriages and lives would not have been ruined and destroyed or shattered if from the age of ninth grade onwards, boys and girls had education on these basic things that seem like common sense that everyone should know, and yet it's not internalized and it needs to be ingrained, ninth grade, 10th grade, even earlier actually, but certainly then and beyond, to ingrain in them healthy behaviors, healthy attitudes, healthy way of using your power of speech. And that could save many marriages, save a lot of misery. Like what Pam said, and I remember, I'm going to say it again. Sometimes there's serious issues in a marriage. Okay, that happens. Like intrinsically, there's serious issues. But Pam said many, many times, it starts from just the way you communicate, and then it deteriorates, and you change course midway, you put the stop sign on it, go back uphill, your marriage will not only be saved, it can thrive beautifully, even beyond beautiful, because the way Hashem works it is that after tshuva, even higher than an original tzaddik, and a marriage after many, many bumps, when you finally get it right by self-correcting both together, you'll see tremendous bracha beyond a marriage that was always calm and stable. May Hashem bless all houses and homes of Klal Yisrael to be full of true shalom and ahava. Bracha v'atzlacha.